Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast here at JoeBucksFan.com, featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. The man is all over Fox 13. He's on Spectrum Sports.
Mad Dog,
Sirius XM Radio. He's living, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeKemper is here. Your favorite Bucks threesome is rolling strong. The podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Ira, you like how I flip-flopped the names right there? You like that?
It's a beautiful thing. It shows you're ambidextrous. How about that?
That's versatility right there. Usually we go Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa first. Ira, at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, one reason I mention them first is that it's the last chance sale. Get their absolute best offers of the year. You waited for the season's best lease offers. You waited for 0%.
They're waiting for a Christmas bonus.
Now, don't wait any longer. It's the last chance sale at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Of course, at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind. We all know about their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. Just like you, Ira, they're all inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. On those, you can get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. That's EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, don't miss it. Last chance to save is now. General Manager Brian Danahy has the season's best offers. Lease 2018 XT5s for only $319 a month with zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Shop all their year-end clearance offers, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the fantastic details. Ira, the fans, they are aching for your sage wisdom. Now, we call you the sage of Tampa Bay sports because you're a seasoned professional, right?
And that means I'm old, in the words of Mike Smith. Ira, go first, old man.
You've been mingling. You were hanging with Chucky on Friday. You're at the stadium yesterday, playing all your sources, all this
Gruden
stuff.
Yeah, was complaining, Lee, that I was firing too many questions at him. He goes, this is a nice little day in the park with the military. Kaufman, you're killing me over here. Anyway, you know, you don't get Chucky on the record very often, so I want to take full advantage.
We'll get to that later, but Ira, look, the Buccaneers lost. They're 4-9. Another stomp in the groin loss for Bucks fans.
Guaranteed basement view, Mr. Isbitz.
Six out of 7 years in a row now, which is just disturbing. I don't even know how else to say that. But Ira, look, this report is out there. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, jumps on TV, jumps on the internet, tells everybody that his sources, unsourced source, says that there's a rift between Jameis and Dirk Cutter. And not only that, Jameis specifically was upset that Cutter didn't sort of make more of his injury publicly, and Jameis thinks the offense is too predictable. You wrote about this in your Monday column a little bit, but what do you make of all this as we sit here Monday afternoon recording your podcast? What's your sage take here?
Lee, I'll say this. If somebody wants to get Cutter fired, and assuming the decision hasn't already been made by ownership, they're up in the air about Cutter. If you want to get Cutter fired, this is the way to do it. This is the most serious charge you can make against Cutter, is that he's not getting along with Jameis Winston. This is not J.R. Sweezy, you know, saying this. This is Winston. Winston's upset. Winston's not happy with his head coach. There's no better way to get Cutter fired. Now, it begs the question, Lee, who leaked it?
Mm-hmm.
Who leaked it? Is it true? And you know what, guys? I'm going to go this far. It's almost like to the point where it may not be relevant whether it's true or not, depending on who leaked it. In other words, if it came from Winston's camp and there's not that much truth to the report, I'm not sure that matters. Because if it came from Winston's camp, the point is Winston's camp wants it out there. So that means they don't want Cutter around. It's a very disturbing, to use Isbitz's word, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. Lee, you and I were there Sunday night when Cutter and Winston responded to a report. Cutter said he didn't know about it till after the game. Cutter said he used the word consistent to describe his relationship with Winston. Then we turned to Winston. Lee, it was quite a scene out there to see Winston's reaction.
It was borderline out of control.
Emotional, you know, talking about the media. The local media is part of the Buck family. We don't look at ourselves necessarily that way.
He didn't name us, so.
He didn't name us.
And that's good.
And in my column, Lee, on Monday, which I don't think you've seen yet.
I glanced at it, yes.
But I make the point, and my takeaway.
Mind you, we're taping this Monday afternoon, so.
My takeaway, guys, tell me if I'm wrong. Winston never denied that the offense was predictable. In fact, he kind of embraced it. and so you put yourself in Cutter's spot. Lee, this is a guy who, you know, said he made his bones as an innovative play caller.
Well, did he?
Yes, he did. As an offensive guru.
Yeah, but innovative?
Innovative. You know, keeping the defense off balance, taking advantage of mismatches.
Jacksonville or Atlanta being innovative,
well,
or even Arizona State for that matter. Atlanta, good, yes. Innovative, no.
Atlanta went a long way with Cutter as the offensive coordinator and
see,
building
to,
up
to
Matt
me,
Ryan.
Innovative is McVay over at Los Angeles.
I understand, but that's got to hurt Cutter to his core to say that the offense is too vanilla, teams know what we're doing. That doesn't sit well with a Dirk Cutter. And meanwhile, you
mean
know,
we're talking about the same offense that Leonard Wester catches up.
Leonard
a touchdown
Wester, and all of this is going on with the backdrop of 4-9 and a potential 6-game losing streak. These are dark days for Dirk Cutter. They're dark, and I said he needed this report like an impacted wisdom tooth. You know, things are gathering. The storm clouds are gathering, and it's making it very hard, Lee, to make the case that Cutter should stay. Even though I keep saying, and I'll say it again, Lee, again. You're going to fire a coach after 2 years? Again? You know, you're starting from scratch, new coaching staff, new philosophy. Again? You're going to do this, Lee? But it looks like it's starting to look inevitable. It's starting to look inevitable.
You gave me a lot to chew on. I tend to agree with you about the again. It's comparing 2 years of Cutter to 2 years of Lovey, inept Lovey, to 2 years of Schiano, apples, oranges, peaches. Cutter won 9 games his first year. I'm still of the mind you're not going to give this guy a chance to fix it. Steve has eloquently spoken about this Bucs job is rotten. Sure, there's only 32 of these jobs available. Someone's going to want it. But you wrote about this Monday morning, Ira. How many years? Basement?
Number 5. Oh, 6 out of 7.
Thank you. And look at the division they play in. You have potentially 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And a third guy who's already been in the Super Bowl, a third guy who's already won MVP, that's a hell of an upstream swim.
You got a potential Winston suspension. That's another cloud.
Well, just a question mark in general, not just a suspension. Question mark in general. I defend Jameis probably irrationally so, but it's getting to the point. It's like, dude, you got to – he's brought these teams back from his turnovers. The Bucs aren't a good enough team to overcome those turnovers. He's done a good job to either – overcome them to give them a lead or tie the game, but they're not good enough to hold the lead. Scream about Mike Smith, that's apt, but this team isn't good enough to overcome his mistakes.
Steve, I'm going to put this to you, Izbits, and you're good at this, but let me put it to you. Steve, the dominant story, in my opinion, of the 2017 Bucs, as we stand here late in the season, the dominant storyline is not Dirk Cutter. It's Jameis Winston. For the first time in his 3-year Buck career, Steve, I think it's fair to say, there are a lot of questions swirling about Jameis Winston. The potential suspension, the charge from the Uber driver, this report, and not to mention, Steve, his very erratic play in 2017. Steve, the questions about Jameis Winston are just about as disturbing as the ones swirling around Cutter.
First, let me say, we really need an Ira cam for these podcasts because people would just be glued. They'd be riveted to your amazing addresses here, the way you deliver them with such passion.
What about my apparel here? I got the NYPD.
NYPD.
You look like Andy Sipowicz.
Andy Sipowicz. Let me redirect you a little bit, Ira. I'm not blowing off your question. I'm going to answer it. But let me redirect you back to the report. Because people want your sage wisdom. I don't think people tune into this podcast for me and Lee. They tune in for you. You're the sage. So do you believe the report? Do you believe that Jameis Winston thinks the offense is too predictable and Cutter didn't have his ass on the public statements on his injury? Do you believe the report?
Lee, from a journalism standpoint, where we come from, it's not a very well-crafted report. It's not. And I'll tell you why. This whole thing about not being supported, it's very vague. Nobody knows what the hell that means. Perhaps even Ian Rappaport doesn't know what it means. But the way he threw it out there, I'm not sure what it does. It mean that Winston was injured worse than anticipated and shouldn't have played some of those games, the Buffalo game, and Cutter threw him out there? What does this non-support mean? Nobody knows, including me, exactly what that means.
Maybe that squirrel over there knows.
Steve, it's a very vague report. Now, the one about The one that I'm focused on is that the Buck offense is too predictable. And, Steve, you asked me about my sage wisdom about this report. Nothing Winston said on Sunday leads me to believe he doesn't think that it's too predictable. Now, he's trying to spin it like, who cares that we're predictable? And I said in my column, what is this, the 66 Green Bay Packers with Jim Taylor? You know, they got, you know, 9 Hall of Famers over there. The Bucks don't. You know, J.R. Sweezy leading Doug Martin is not the same. I'm sorry. So, you know, Winston couches it like that. Who cares? Who cares that they know what we're doing? Well, if I'm a Buck fan, why should they know what you're doing? I mean, Winston could have been a lot more, defending Dirk Cutter. He could have done a little better job. That's all I'm saying.
You know,
so as far as that part two of what Rappaport is suggesting, my takeaway is, Winston does think it's too predictable.
Or somebody in that organization does.
You know, and that can't sit well with the head coach.
Who do you think leaked it?
Well, my conclusion in my column, I know for a fact, and let me say this to our listeners, and I don't think anybody else knows as much as I do in this regard. Jason Light's hands are clean. Jason Light had nothing to do with it. And why do I say that? I've seen evidence. I've seen evidence that Jason Light had nothing to do and, in fact, tried to subdue the report and never get it published because in Hinbind it was inaccurate. That, and I'm sticking with it. And that's not just pie in the sky. Jason Light had nothing to do with this thing being published.
I have a very good idea where it's coming from.
I don't necessarily think you're wrong.
I'm not going to say because I don't know for a fact, but if I had $300 in my wallet, I'd put $300 on this table and bet where it's coming from.
Steve,
but I
usually,
can't say because I don't know.
Steve, based on past experience, and I think I speak for Lee here, when there's a report where a player's unhappy with something, it usually involves the player's side of things. Somehow. I'm not suggesting Jameis Winston texted Ian Rappaport.
That's
not the way it works.
No, I'll lay $300 down specifically the person who did it. But I'm not going to say because I don't know for a fact.
And some people would suspect John Gruden's camp did it. Now, I said in my Monday column,
that would not be a shock.
I didn't say that's impossible, like I'm saying with Jason Light. I'm not saying it's impossible. But I do say, knowing Gruden as well as I do over the years, he does have respect for the coaching fraternity. He does. Now,
he's got an interesting way of showing it.
Somebody would say, well, maybe it wasn't John Gruden that did it. Maybe it was Gruden's camp that did it. Possibility.
Sure.
Possibility. My instinct tells me they think that I think that this thing's so far along that Cutter really doesn't need another push outside the door. The play on the field is pushing him out the door. Well, you know, maybe I'm being a little naive here, but I would tend to think more Winston's camp than Gruden's camp.
I'm going to go fifth column here. There's one player, like when Chucky first came to the Bucks, there was one player he had to impress. One player. That guy's name was Sapp. There's one player with the
and
Bucks.
And the rest would fall in line.
Bingo. With the Bucks, there's one player. His name is Jameis Winston. I'm going to go fifth column here. I mean, I'm going to go conspiracy theorist. Gruden's camp, if not Gruden, Gruden's camp, talk to Winston's people. This is what we can do for you if Gruden is the coach. Here's what we will do. X, Y, and Z. Lay it all out to get Winston to, you know, Winston in the past on Buccaneers.com video in the locker room has extolled the virtues of Cutter as being the best coach he ever had. Better than Jimbo Fisher even. Does that sound like there's a rift? I don't know. I don't think so, but he's got to win over Winston. Any coach has got to win over Winston because the coach that the Glazers are going to hire, provided they get rid of Cutter, we don't know that yet. Any coach that they're going to hire, it's going to be all about Jameis. Just the same reason why Cutter got hired. All about Jameis. It would not shock me whatsoever. I'm going, again, very conspiracy theorist here, going, you know, like JFK mentality. Somebody in Gruden's camp, if not Gruden himself, went to Jameis's people and laid it all out. This is what we'll do for you, blah, 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 blah.
Steve, is there another camp? Is there maybe a fourth camp that we haven't mentioned?
Well, I wanted you to clarify, Ira, so I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you took the effort there. Look, do you agree? And I'm going to give a couple of takes here. You see, I've been taking notes. Ira, though, do you agree, though, that this report, if we believe it, this report makes Jameis Winston look like a whiny, petulant child who can't handle his coach's wishes at 23 years old and is speaking up about play calling and petty stuff like, oh, I don't like the way the coach talked about my injury?
My answer is yes, it does.
So
it paints Winston in an unflattering light.
It paints Winston in a horrible light. And let's face it, the organization PR team, Jason Light, didn't come out publicly and defend him and say, Jameis, that's not Jameis.
They let him hang out to dry?
They let him hang. So if it's from his family is stupid by making their guy look bad, because you know what? A lot of fans right now are thinking about Cutter's job and other stuff, but months.
Hey, Winston's got his own problems, gentlemen.
I know.
He's got, besides the potential suspension, a lot of fans.
Oh, sure.
Steve, a lot of fans have turned on
Winston.
Yes.
Yeah, there's this crazy guy. I'm not going to mention his name. I had to mute him on Twitter because and I thought he was a rational fan. He wants him cut now. He'd rather have Brian Hoyer as a quarterback.
So if the report is true, let's just say it is true.
And there's friction between them.
And okay. There is friction. It makes Jameis look terrible, in my opinion. So, and I'm glad you agree.
Give me your take on this aspect of not supporting Winston through his injury phase. Man, what does that mean?
Steve, real quick. We need a camcorder here for Ira?
No.
He's like a prosecuting attorney witness's face on the stand.
Gruden said I was like Perry Mason last
week. Yeah, you're like
week.
4 feet away from this bit's face. You're bent over. You're
Steve,
like,
what does that mean? What
it's
does
like
that
law
mean
and
that
order
Cutter
here.
Didn't support him?
Well,
I want answers. I can handle the truth. What does that mean to you? What does it mean?
Look, well, to me, the whole thing is stupid. That's just to me. But if we believe it's true, that if we're going to presume this allegation is accurate, it means Jameis thought Cutter should have been publicly talking about how much pain he was playing through and what a tough guy he is. And there was probably one little sentence somewhere that irked Jameis, or maybe it irked somebody in Jameis's camp who showed Jameis, and Jameis caught it out of context and was like, yeah, man, what the crap is that? So I think it's stupid, petty stuff.
I don't remember one shred of anything that can be taken as an insult to Jameis.
No,
Winston.
No, nobody does.
Well, I'll buttress your thought there, Ira. You know you like that word, buttress. Friday night, Cutter is always on Sirius XM NFL radio during the season. He was over the top defending Jameis. He all but said, you could read between the lines, he all but said, as long as I'm Bucs coach, he is my quarterback. You know, he said, this guy's going to be a quarterback for the Bucs for years to come, blah, blah, blah. Said, you should compare Jameis to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford struggled when he first came out because a lousy team drafted him. I mean, just went on and on and on, just laying it thick.
And, Steve, I'm far from the guy that's going to turn on Jameis Winston. As a matter of fact, I think I've been pretty consistent in these podcasts. I've said, one, ownership still believes that Winston's a franchise quarterback. And, two, I still believe he's going to be a very good quarterback. Having said that, he has not played well this season.
Not this season.
Hold on, guys. Refresh my memory. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. Has he completed one long pass? And I don't mean a 10-yarder that the guy turns into 40. Has he completed one long pass to DeSean Jackson during the 17 season? Has he or not?
No, there's no 30-plus yard pass that we can all remember.
Has he hit him on one fly pattern?
No.
One.
No.
No. Ira, let me say this.
You're in Tom Cruise mode this morning.
I am. That is indefensible, gentlemen. It's indefensible.
Do I look like Jack Nicholson here?
Before we go in too many directions, Ira, before we go too far, okay? Because as you said, this is Jameis is the story of this year.
Yes, he is.
And I agree with you. If Jameis is this guy, if the allegation is true, if he's this guy who's he's butt hurt, or his feelings are he's all troubled by his coach on petty stuff like this, then how the hell is he the future? Because you think he's going to get along with John Gruden? You think he's going to be on the same page with Gruden?
Very fair question.
So if it's true, and I don't believe it's true, but if it's true, the Bucs have a big problem. And because I don't want that guy. That's not the guy I want leading my team. Oh, he's whining about his coach. He's 23 years old. Who the hell are you, Jameis Winston? You're 17-25 as a starter, Jameis Winston.
He stands up.
You don't get to yell about this stuff.
Just stood up.
I've never seen that before.
I haven't seen it.
You don't get to bitch about anything when you're 17-25 as a starter. You're the worst QB in your division, and you're giving the ball away like it's freaking cotton candy. So who are you, Jameis Winston? So the Bucs are in a tough spot. The Glazers, I believe, know the truth, and there's always gray area here, but it's a difficult spot. Is the next coach? You've said, Ira, you just basically said it's inevitable you believe that Dirk Cutter's out of here.
It appears to be.
And that's where you sit.
No, I'm just reading, tea leaves are gathering.
Okay. December 11th, that's what you believe right now. It's inevitable he's out of here because you don't see the Bucs winning 2 out of 3 to close the season. We all get that. But if there's a new coaching hire, I believe if that next coach is John Gruden, and I'm certainly not convinced he's the best possible candidate, but if he is it really all about Jameis? Isn't it really all about Gruden? If you turn the keys to the franchise over to Gruden, doesn't it become all about Gruden, not all about Jameis anymore?
Well, if that happens, Lee, if that scenario happens, you'd have to think that a big part of the reason that it's going to happen is that Gruden believes in Jameis Winston. You have to believe that.
Yeah, because he'll have choices.
He's not coming in here and telling the Glazers, I want my own quarterback. Well, yeah, I'm going to draft somebody.
That's a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker. Steve, your point is well taken. And I'll say this. Lee, two short years ago, boy, how times changed. Mm. If it's true, if the report's true, and Steve's right, there's a lot of questions about this report. Lee, what is a fact is 2 years ago, when the Glazers fired Lovie Smith and elevated Dirk Cutter, the primary reason was...
Number three.
They talked to Winston. Winston gave this guy a big endorsement. What do you think? They didn't talk to Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
Before they elevated Dirk Cutter?
Yeah.
Winston could have scuttled that.
Yes.
Now, he might not have been able to save Lovie Smith's job, but he could have stopped Cutter from getting the job if he said, yeah, I'm a little lukewarm on Cutter. He could have stopped it.
Yes, he could
He
have.
Didn't.
He had that
he
kind of power.
He gave him a hearty endorsement. 2 years later, when, you know, Cutter goes 9-7, and you look good, and now you're struggling, now he's going to throw Cutter under the
you
bus?
You just reminded me of a story. I heard from a heavy hitter at One Buck that Jameis lobbied when he learned. Jameis was in Miami with his dad at some nightclub, restaurant, whatever, on South Beach. It just so happened Dick Vitale was there. You know Dick Vitale, you follow his Instagram. He's always putting, I mean, he meets someone that's like a F-list celebrity. He puts it up on Instagram, you know, they're huggy and everything. Well, that very night, Winston and Dick Vitale and Winston's dad had a picture on Instagram, you know, Dick Vitale's, you know, hey, look who I'm up here, baby. I'm with Jameis Winston and Antonor. And that night is when Lovie got axed. The next day, I was told Jameis was at One Buck lobbying for Cutter. Does that sound like? And I'll throw another one about
that. I'm not sure that conversation didn't take place before Lovie was axed.
Well, Jameis and Lovie, well, at least from Jameis's point of view, were tight.
I'm not saying, Steve. Let's be clear. I'm not saying Jameis Winston stabbed Lovie Smith in the back. I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying
once there was going to be a vacancy, he's a big reason Cutter got that job.
Well, here's one for you. I'm gonna
Could you deny that, Isbitz, without standing up? You don't have to stand up.
I'm going
to
throw this at you. You're sage. You've been around since, like I always say, Sid Luckman and George Halas. When has there not been friction between a coach and a quarterback? When? I mean, Bart Starr tangled with Vince Lombardi. You brought up the Packers a while ago. There's NFL films of Dan Fouts barking at Don Coryell.
You think Brad Johnson and Gruden got along all during the 2002 championship season?
When,
not a chance.
When has a quarterback and a coach basically been caught in the backseat of a car?
You got to have a tough hide. One of Brad Johnson's great attributes.
Big time. Look, even just in...
What I'm getting at is someone's blown this out of proportion.
Late Gruden history, 10 years ago, last playoff team, Jeff Garcia comes in here as a free agent, performs very well, makes the Pro Bowl, leads the team in the offseason. Hey, let's get Brett Favre. Well, let's screw you, Garcia. that's the NFL, and that's John Gruden. So that's where I have to disagree with you, Ira. If you think for a second that John Gruden, he says if he wants this job, he'll say whatever he has to do to get the job, and the minute he's here, he knows he owns all the leverage. He owns the fans. He owns the energy. And if he doesn't like Jameis, see you later, Jameis. That is the reality. John Gruden, in year two of John Gruden, if he takes over next year, year two of John Gruden, he wins the battle.
You might be on shaky ground.
You don't think the Glazers don't know that about Gruden? Nobody knows Gruden better than the Glazers.
The Glazers still believe in Jameis Winston.
For now.
And Gruden better remember that. He better remember that.
They believe in him
until
for now.
Until they don't believe in him.
They believe in him for now. He's got to start playing better.
Am I nuts that since he came back from his injury? Now, again, I'm not factoring the fumbles, which is like saying, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But aside from the fumbles, he's not playing that bad. Am I nuts?
Well, is that the way you want to judge a guy that you think should be elite?
I'm not suggesting that you should overlook the fumbles. He's a young kid still. Hopefully that will be drummed out of his system. But I don't think he's playing that bad. I mean, Packers, he brought him back. He gave him a lead in the fourth quarter. Yesterday, horrible game, turnover-wise, horrible game. He had the game tied in the fourth quarter.
They also ran the ball pretty well those 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks, yeah, they ran the ball pretty well.
Speaking of
we
which.
We haven't even gotten to that.
Speaking of which.
That's how big this Winston story
you're
is.
You're talking about Cutter. You think it's inevitable. Your words, not mine. If Cutter's grave was dug already, the shovel went in the dirt yesterday when he started Doug Martin.
Well, Steve's going to remind me of my quote from last week, and I'm going to stand by it.
A couple of things for those who didn't hear your quote. I think just on the broader scale of Jameis and Cutter, and it's all interwoven, they're not scoring enough points.
Bingo.
Just not scoring enough points. Too many weapons, too many guys healthy on the offense, not scoring enough points. That's on everybody associated with the offense for all this talent. As far as the Doug Martin situation, before we get that, Ira, I want to remind everybody, take a deep breath. Go to EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. These are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Amazing end-of-the-year offers. Check them out. Get there right now. Also, NFL Photo Store at NFL.com, the real deal. Use your 25% off Joe Bucks fan code. You can find a link at JoeBucksFan.com or just go there, pump in Joe Bucks fan code, get your Patrick Mahomes photos for your Chiefs fan friends.
Ira.
And get that done.
Now, by the way, is that what's called a hook? Right before you started with the commercials, like, we'll get to Doug Martin in a second.
Steve's good at
that. Yeah, there's
Steve's
a hook. There's a hook. You know, I still think the broader Jameis situation is, if you look at the quarterbacks across the NFC, he just doesn't rank that high.
That's because he didn't make a move up this year like everybody expected.
I know. And, you know, I was...
And by the way, Mariota hasn't had a very
good
year.
Oh, he stunk
either.
Yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I was... This is now two wins in a row for Garoppolo, who I was watching a lot of that game back and forth with the Bucs, you know, during the breaks. He looks great.
Yeah.
Rams scoring all kinds of points.
And
Goff.
And the Bears had a shocking lit up the scoreboard. My point is that the 49ers would be another team that they would not trade Garoppolo for Winston tomorrow.
No.
They wouldn't do it. And it's just interesting, that dynamic. All right, Ira, look, you said on this podcast twice, you said if the trumpets were sounded, if Doug Martin.
Lee's a man of many talents over there.
If Doug Martin starts over Peyton Barber against the Lions, that is the death knell for Dirk Cutter. He should be fired.
I said they take away his key card. That's what I said. That's what I said.
Okay. Right. They take away his key card.
Voted properly.
He now has to enter through the ceiling.
Climb through the trees.
Bottom line is, that's what happened Sunday.
I don't know if I said start or give him the bulk of the carries.
If I recall correctly, you said if Doug Martin starts and he gets X amount of carries and Peyton Barber only gets 12, he's done.
Well, I think Peyton Barber did get 12, and Doug Martin got 10 in the first half, so I stand by it. Horrible decision. Might have cost him the game.
Might have cost him his career.
Might have cost him the game. I don't understand it, Steve. Somebody has to explain this to me. To me, this is right there with Stonehenge, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yetis.
The Yetis, the pyramids. This is up there.
Stonehenge.
Doug Martin. Now, look, we all said we like Doug Martin. Personally, we got nothing against Doug Martin. But, guys, that ship has sailed. He's not going to be here next year. He hasn't been very productive since 2015. These are facts. And Peyton Barber has run more effectively than him. Yet, there he is, 10 first-half carries, 26 yards. Am I correct? 26?
Yes. Correct.
Including... Yep. A costly fumble.
It cost him a score.
And here comes Barber in the second half because, quote, it was his turn. And all I see is Barber running through people, pushing the pile, making jump cuts in Isbit's, expression, and being very effective. Yeah, the guy is not a good blocker. Yeah, Sandy Koufax couldn't hit. Do what the guy does. Tell me where I'm wrong here, Isbits. Please tell me where I'm wrong.
Everybody knows you're not wrong. It's mind-numbing. It's ridiculous.
Loyalty. And come on now.
Cutter, what do you think was going through the Blazers?
Loyalty to the fans.
What do you think was going on in the owner's suite yesterday? They're watching that.
There's nobody else to pin this on, Steve. This is not Jason Light telling them, you got to play Doug Martin. This is not Ed Glazer saying you got to play Doug Martin. That this is a head coach decision.
And, it's so bad. We've touched on this so many times. It's so stupid. But what even makes it worse to me is that Peyton Barber's not some Division II running back.
He looks like the second coming of Ernest Graham, which is not a bad thing.
He led the SEC in rushing, and the SEC is well thought of to be the toughest conference for defense in college football.
And he's not a rookie. He's paid his dues. To the best of my knowledge, he's never coughed the ball up. This was a guy whose turn was there. Granted, it should have happened a long time ago, as we've talked about, but just a crazy move by Cutter, which I agree with Lee. For the Glazers to watch that and to see it just blow up in Cutter's face as an abject failure, a stubborn, stupid failure, because you know what? Even if Martin had a good day yesterday, I was talking with a guy with this at Abe's place in Clearwater yesterday.
Martin's not going to be here next year.
If he had 18 carries for, you know, 70 yards, it's still stupid. He had no business. He's done. He's done with this organization. You're out of the playoffs. That's stupid.
What's brutal stupid. For a coach? I've always said this. Anyone in any sport, GM, owner, coach, what have you, manager, if fans can see it and the guys get paid seven figures can't see it, that's a problem.
You know, we have been so dominated, and rightfully so, by the Winston slash Cutter talk, by the Doug Martin slash Barber talk, that we don't even mention anymore what is so apparently the number one problem on
defense?
The field, the number one priority going into the April draft. And yes, it's December and we're talking about the draft because there ain't much else to talk about. And Buck fans are already looking forward to it. Oh, which defensive end are we going to draft? And yes, gentlemen, they will draft a defensive end. Unless your boy Gruden wants to draft a quarterback, and there's no way that's happening.
Baker Mayfield.
Or unless a suspension for Winston comes down. And maybe the Glazers make a decision. Maybe. I'm not saying that's going to happen because most people think this thing's going to take 6 months to adjudicate.
Which is ridiculous.
And I think that's ridiculous. Yeah. You're right, Lee. But correct me if I'm wrong, and I know I'm not. Mr. Stafford dropped back to pass 44 times yesterday. A team that has struggled all year to keep this man upright. And the Bucks treat him like, you know, the guy's
Virgin
got
Mary.
You know, the guy's radioactive. most of those completions, and there were 36 of them, 36 completions.
82%.
Most of them were ridiculously easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody around the guy because he's got 5 seconds. I'm not going to blame little Ryan Smith. A couple of times, I saw six guys rushing. They didn't get there. When you rush six, you got to get there. If you don't, guys are wide open.
Here's my issue, and I wrote this Monday morning, on the morning after column. I don't want to hear anymore they don't have a pass rush, and this is why. Granted, we only have to deal with this 3 more weeks. I don't want to hear about this anymore, because in 2014, inept Lovie Smith somehow got 8.5 sacks combined out of homesick Ghost Johnson, out of kneeling, pot-carrying Akeem Spence.
Very good.
And out of guitar playing, gun toting Daquan Bowers. Now, anybody with a piece of brain, you said you put in one stack, you got Ayers, Swaggy Baker, and Will Goldson. In the other stack, you got Ghost Johnson, Daquan Bowers, and Akeem Spence. You're going to pick the Ayers pile. If they can't squeeze anything out of those guys, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This has been a problem since week two. It's not gone away, Steve, and it's not going away.
The defense, a handful of – I'm going to rapid-fire you some nuggets, Ira, for you to consider about this defense. First, you know, we started the podcast talking about who wants Dirk Cutter fired. You could argue Mike Smith with the way he coaches defense. I mean, you could make an argument there.
That's cruel.
It's cruel. Now, blitzing, right? The Bucs blitz on 30% of the dropbacks, which is a lot. It's not. It should be more given how brutal their defensive line is. But Quan Alexander, Levante David, no sacks this year. Zero. No sacks for the defensive backfield. Not a safety, not a nickel blitz, not a nothing. That's extraordinary how awful this team is blitzing, and Mike Smith can't find a twist to make it work.
Either they don't disguise the blitz.
There you go.
Or they can't get there. They're
both.
Not very good at it.
Yeah, both.
Now, I thought Levante David's a good blitzer.
Zero sacks. Zero. He's blitzing a lot. Quan Alexander. I mean, it's bad. And one little nugget. You watch the TV copy. Matthew Stafford, right? He came in with a busted up hand.
Throwing hand, to be specific.
So they can't even breathe on him. You would think they would send the house at him even more early just to try to knock his hand out, you know? Or
test
him. Maybe he follows through and hits somebody on the helmet, or he gets knocked down and, you know, has to put his hand out. Late in that game, Stafford actually fell down, got a hit, not a hard hit, but it registered as a hit.
What, one of his players ran into him?
One of Tampa Bay's three hits.
I think
three.
It was airs breathed on him. Okay. Anyway, so what does he do? What does he do when he gets up, Ira? He's laying on the ground. He sticks his brutalized hand out, and this big offensive lineman comes by and grabs it and pulls him up. I'm like, he's not even hurt. This 300-pound guy just squeezed his hand and pulled him up. It's crazy stuff.
It's tough to watch.
But the defense is brutal, and I think one of the big daggers on Cutter, Ira, is that Cutter, you ask him about defense, he's like, hey, it's not my department, man. Mike Smith's a genius, and I'm going to mess things up. He's completely disconnected, and it's awful. So how's he going to fix it? It's just – it's a train wreck.
If he does come back, Lee, and you think there's a decent chance that he does, Lee, I don't want to put words in your mouth. If he does, it's got to be with the understanding he's got to make significant, and I'm going to say it again, significant staff changes. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't want to do it, bye-bye. He's out.
Yeah.
He would do it. Believe
you,
me.
You think so?
He would do it.
Because I'm starting to wonder. I know he's loyal to a fault. You know, he's killing his own. Killing his own career with Doug
Steve,
Martin.
So. We've spent 3 months going in circles, and we all come back to the same part. So I'll say it: this has been a poorly coached football team.
Yes. All right, Ira, your fans are going to be sad. I know I got to get you out of here since you have some television duties, and we're going to talk a lot more on Thursday about Dirk
Cutter. We haven't even talked about, you know, Gruden Week. That's a big, big topic.
And we will hit that. We'll hit a long podcast. I think we'll be heading to Hooters Wednesday night, I believe, to record our podcast. Should be long. Maybe we'll get a Riesling in you.
If we're going to talk about Gruden, we might as well do it at Hooters, Lee.
There you go.
So you're not worried about distractions?
Well, beet salad perhaps is a distraction. By the way, did you see Isbitz post that picture of me with that beet salad at the Atlanta airport?
You mowed it down, didn't you?
It was quite a caption he threw on there,
and
too.
I'll leave you this to ponder, Ira. Dirk Cutter, if you are the Glazers and you trust him as your head coach, and then you go tell him you got to fire this guy, that guy, do this, do that, you don't really trust the guy. And to me, that's just stupid. He's not Dick Vermeil with a long resume. He's Dirk Cutter, and if you don't trust what he did already, then... get him out of here. We'll talk about it Thursday, Sage.
Got it.